Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We are so excited about this conversation. We've been having this conversation for
a while.
Sometime now.
Do you remember a front loader, end loader, the conversation?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. We've been having this conversation for quite some time.
Long time.
And we've been rehearsing, I guess, for quite some time. Up to now, everything's been a dress rehearsal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've been talking about in our programs, I don't know if you caught our previous programs, but you can catch them at VFNTV.com on your app. Don't forget to download our app. Just go to VFNTV.com, get all the details on the front page. But, God commands us to go into all the world and for the purposes of seeing different people, not just to go visit the River Nile and all that.
And the sights.
And the sights and the Ferris wheels. And to tell them about him and to make his name famous. And, we kind of put that in a place called missionaries, but he actually commanded all of us to
do
that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we find out that he wants us to go and tell them about him, and when they do make him the Lord of their life, he makes a new nation out of us, and of which he's the king, and we're like a new ethnos in Jesus Christ. But when you look at us, we're coming from all around the world, all these different nations. Mm-hmm. And so you see, since God created that nation, he loves it, and ooh, God created this nation and he loves it, and mm-hmm, God created that nation and he loves it. And so he wants his love to be made known to these nations. And there was a year, the gospel has spread around the world because of those in history in America who have taken on the burden of that commission and gone into all the world. And we had, of course, Apostle Isaiah on from Nigeria talking about he felt like he was fruit from the DNA, the lineage of William Seymour, an American, African-American with Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. And he felt like he owes America so much because Africa was so touched by what happened in that move. Of course, John G. Lake and Iris Ministries with
Heidi Baker. And even Reinhard Bonnke today.
Yeah, Reinhard Bonnke today. How many souls?
73 million.
73 million souls. And so it looks possibly like America is the new mission field, and all of the offspring of those who gone before us have labored coming here saying, no, it's not, we're going to come bring the gospel. We're going to come help in this harvest that's about to happen. Mm. And one of the aspects of that, because we are a melting pot, when you go to Japan, for example, we'll be having some great material coming up on Japan soon on our program. They're a pretty close-knit nation. Mm-hmm. And you stand out. If you're not Japanese, you stand out. Unlike America, we have all the different nationalities. We're like a melting pot. Mm-hmm. And but remember that it's built on, established on a Judeo-Christian value, which is, to go to all the nations. Why not have all the nations come to you? Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about nations, you're talking about different races. And a talk began this week that we've been talking about the foundation of this and how we got here to this, and we want to talk about it because there's so many people thinking, well, I'm not called to missions, I'm not called to missions, and for whatever reason, the biggest reason is comfort and convenience and cash.
Right. It's amazing. All those start with a C.
Yeah. That I don't have enough cash. It's like, you don't need cash. You just need obedience, right?
That's it.
You'll find that the further you go into other countries, the least money you actually need.
Mm-hmm.
There's no electric bill here. There's not.
Hey,
no.
Nope.
Just keep the walls up when the wind blows, and it's going to be great. And the net over you. And so, God loves the human race. And since America, we're confronted with our inability or failure to want to lay down our life for the cause of the commission. And one is demonstrated by, will we have any children? you know, will American Christians begin to say, you know, we're going to have children. That's going to be a positive thing. We want to multiply. We're willing to lay down our lives because the most unselfish thing you can do, and you find this out when you see a selfless couple think, we want a child, right?
Yeah.
And then and they're going like, it's all about him. Him, cry, diaper change, feed. It's like, that's what you were talking about, right? No, I just wanted some jewelry to kind of hang on my side. And go, you know, it's the most selfless thing you can do is to have children and pour your life into them, pray for them, you know, share the gospel, the love of God with them, and just lead them in life. And in the same manner, it's the most selfless thing you can do is to go into the harvest field in your own community, your own nation, and help somebody be born again in the kingdom by leading to the Lord, because now it's going to require you time, resources. And what the narrative of darkness that has come across the world from what the reports are, not just America, is that that's not a valuable thing. That's like a low priority. And we might have kids one day. Mm-hmm. You know, I might, when I retire, do something in the ministry or something like that. I mean, everything is just kind of like, that's a low priority. It's no longer being a family sitting around a table, eating a meal. It's no longer a lot of places, this hierarchy of arrival, you know. And I like what, you know, Bill Johnson says, you know, no matter what anybody says of Bethel Ministries, no matter what anybody says, I mean, even the people, the biggest haters of marriage itself, there's something inside of everybody that a marriage that lasts, they admire it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Even though maybe your marriage went through all kinds of shambles and everything. I mean, you're human. Everybody has all these journeys. Mm-hmm. But when you last, I mean, even the atheist looks and goes, man, did you see a couple? The couple, you know, they've been together like 40 years. And I mean, it's just this paradigm. Yeah. There's something in a marriage that tells people that God is good, that two people can become one, and that, you know, the bride of Christ is this huge, you know, Ephesians 5 testimony. And so when we begin to function as family, I mean, family is so an amazing thing that they got a television show, just cameras on a family just to watch their day-to-day life. Ooh. Okay, it's time to eat. You know, it's time to work. It's time to go to, you know, they do homeschool or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the family's called.
The Duggars, 19 kids and counting.
And it's a beautiful picture of, you know, what we're supposed to look like. And so it's just some anomaly now, but it's not supposed to be. And so we need to begin to think about, okay, then to go into all the nations, the ethnos, the races, my race and all the other races, and tell them about Jesus. You know, your race should be just as much as a believer concerned about my race as my race is concerned about your race, because we're both called to go to each other's races and tell each other about the goodness of God. Mm-hmm. And whoever says yes and enters in, you know, we're in the family. We're a new ethnos. That's right. A new nation in Christ. You know, he talks about it in Peter. I believe it was 1 Peter. And so this conversation took place. And today we're going to be able to have some clips from this. It just took place this Sunday night. And we have a deep debt of gratitude to Pastor Lynn Ballinger of Jubilee International Christian Center, who, of all the people.
My goodness.
I mean, if somebody's going to blindfold me, spin me around, and ask me where the conversation would be held, it would be held at Pastor Lynn's.
Absolutely.
You know, Pastor Lynn's. And he's just a bundle of love, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we both, I guess, are like plump, a little bit like that. We're just kind of like thick.
Yeah.
We're thick. What are you talking about?
We appreciate you.
We got pictures. We love you. We got pictures.
I got them too.
I got
to remind myself.
I got to remind, The, but it's just that
he's a real deal.
He's a real deal. And he just, you know, gave up his Sunday night gathering to do what matters most. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pastor Aaron James, the associate and friend of, you know, Pastor Lynn, they just kind of let it happen. And as I shared, when we get back from this break, we're going to start hearing parts of this. You've got to hear it, because our goal is to begin a conversation in the glory zone. And, of course, all around the nation. Because right now, what's happening is, and what provoked this is, because this has been around for a long time, but what provoked it was you're seeing the nation now, you know, being totally stirred up over this issue of race. And we're being divided on a lot of different planes. I mean, everything that can be divided is being divided. But in regards to the church, there was so much chatter. And chatter is what they say in intelligence, what people are saying back and forth to each other, and supposedly Christian chatter on social media about 10,000 different viewpoints about you know, what's happening in Ferguson, what's happening in New York, what's happening in Staten Island, and you know, Trayvon, and different things that are going on. And I love the way what Francis Chan says in Multiply Movement is, there is, the Bible's not opened up to different interpretations. There's only one interpretation of it. But there's different applications of that interpretation. I mean, it's very clear what God says in his word about mankind. Mm-hmm. He loves mankind. He's created us in his image and his likeness. And he wants to live with each of us in eternity forever. But because of our sin, all of us have sinned and fallen short. We can't do that. So God gave his son to be able to pay the price for us. And Jesus willingly paid that price for our sin on the cross, for the joy set on the other side of the cross. What was the joy? Being with you forever. Mm. But that's the joy. And so that's very clear. So how can we be trying to reach out with the love of God to mankind? Why some of the chatter is very hateful and divisive. And so they felt that they needed to have this conversation. And I just applaud them for this. And I believe it's a seedbed for a conversation. And I believe that I was talking to Derek last night, Derek Rice, who is an African-American young man who was in his own church. And he was praying in the parking lot that he used to go to, used to attend, not now. And they called the police on him to have him arrested because they thought he was breaking into cars. And he told his mother, who was working in the office, it's me, no. But I'm just like, it's amazing, you know, we've got to talk about this. We've got to talk about this because at whatever we do to the least of these of Jesus's, that's what we're doing to him. And so so this is beautiful. So today's going to be filled with, you know, some clips to begin to just have that conversation. So stay tuned, come back, and we're going to continue this conversation. This is going to be conversations coming straight from Jubilee International Christian Center on Pearl Harbor Day, which I truly believe. If the church does not respond, we're going to be surprised, just like in Pearl Harbor. Something's going to happen to this nation that is such a surprise and such a shock, and it's going to get our attention, you know, and we even talk about that. I believe Pastor Greg Burns is going to be talking about a crisis, and I've seen this crisis. But what if we repent?
Yeah.
That's what our goal is. First, we're going to talk about, you know, Lynn Ballinger, and Pastor Lynn Ballinger, and this and what he said was just so great about, you know, go ahead and break it down.
Well, he talks about, and he's really interesting about culture, and he says basically that it's okay for us to gather because people worship in reality to what their culture is like. And so that's okay if we come together like that. The big problem occurs is where we become exclusive and we decide not to allow other people to be part of our worship, because then we stop being a church.
Let's go to that clip now.
And just to start out, in working for probably about 15 years here in being very intentional at doing that, I will say it is easy to talk about the segregation of Sunday, but it's also very much a reality that culture plays into our worship. And it's very common for people to worship according to their culture. And there's actually not anything inherently wrong with that unless it becomes exclusive. When we exclude other people, now we're not being the church anymore. We're being some other type of an organization. And it's important, I believe, for us, we desired to do this, first of all, because I believe God specifically called us to do that, to be very intentional at breaking it down. And by the way, it was not anything remotely easy in the process, especially in the early years. But we believe that if we could model something where we have people from different ethnicities together, and actually now different nationalities and different languages, all worshiping together in the same auditorium, loving each other, fellowshipping with each other, embracing the differences, that somehow that would speak something into our community and into our world, that this is what Christianity looks like.
That's, I mean, you couldn't say that any better, you know. But he also goes on, he's talking about, you know, how God moved the church out of Jerusalem, and it was pretty tough how it happened. And I think, you know, and you'll hear even Pastor Greg Burns talk about this, is that, you know, this crisis is going to move us outside of our Jerusalems. Mm. You know, he didn't say it that way, but, you know, it's going to get us out of our comfort zone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because God wants us to go, I mean, eternity is what we're living for. You know what I'm saying?
This is not eternity.
This is all the tears, pain, suffering, you know, brokenness, loss. You know, this is just preparatory, you know, premarital counseling for the bride of Christ to enter into eternity with God. And so here is the time we begin to feel. Remember when the man goes out and he says, he sends them out, the original people he invited to the wedding wouldn't come. And so he says, go tell everybody to come. Mm. And that's our job, is to go to all the nations and say, do you want to come to the party? Mm-hmm. Do you want to come? And he goes on a little bit further, and this is Pastor Lynn Ballinger too.
That's right.
And listen to this, and it's just powerful.
Now, when Paul the apostle was in Jerusalem, God actually moved him out of Jerusalem to Antioch. He did that intentionally because in Jerusalem, everything was Judaic. Everything was Jewish in Christianity. And where he moved him to was very blended, and he's rubbing shoulders and shows. And let me tell you, in that day and time, the Jewish people weren't prejudiced against one group. They were prejudiced against everybody equally. And so for him to be rubbing shoulders with Scythians and barbarians and Africans and Europeans and Asians, all worshiping together in this place, was absolutely unheard of. And it was something in the nature that really, I believe, was like a tip of the spear to impact the world, particularly the non-Jewish world, with the gospel. So I believe, and I don't want to take all the time, I'd love to have hear some of the other guys as well, but I believe one of the most important reasons why we should be more intentional about bridging together within our differences in cultures, races, whatever that looks like, is to represent the kingdom. Because we use the term multiracial or multicultural, but in truth, we're really not, we might be multi-ethnic, but we're not really multicultural, because in the kingdom of God, there's one culture, and it's the kingdom culture. Amen?
That's so important, because of all the things that Jesus told us to do was to pray to the Father, the creator of the universe, that his kingdom would come.
Mm.
And his kingdom is as all that he created, the kingdom of this world is going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing is being redeemed for those who want to be and choose to be redeemed. And every tribe, every tongue, you know, Revelation chapter 7, every nation is going to stand before God. I mean, the wedding feast before God, that Jesus is going to be there with us, and it's going to be all nations at these tables. It's going to be everybody, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just so, so very, very exciting. I know that, you know, Pastor
Joshua Wongoffer really just speaks to us about exactly what you're talking about, is that, you know, Jesus, the Lord's prayer is, you know, may his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so, if we want earth to reflect what's happening in the kingdom of God, you got to watch this and listen to this. It does a wonderful job in just breaking this down. Watch this.
When I came to our congregation 11 years ago, I started a series in the Gospel of Matthew, studying through that book. And when I got to the Sermon on the Mount, I got to the Lord's Prayer. And this little pesky phrase in the Lord's Prayer grabbed my heart, and I couldn't escape it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as I studied the kingdom of God, the reign of God, how God rules in the world, and also how he rules in heaven, because we are praying for the kingdom and the will of God to be seen on earth as it is reflected in heaven, Well, we sang the Revelation song tonight, tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations together in unity around the throne of Christ. And my heart was burdened because the congregation I came to did not look like that. Now, I had taken that fact for granted because before I had pastored in outside of Camden and Philadelphia, and so those two cities, and I was used to seeing a much more multi-ethnic demonstration of God's church. But when I came here, I didn't find that, and it did not strike me until I was preaching through that text and realized that that's God's heart, is for his kingdom that's reflected in heaven to be reflected in our local bodies. That's what the will of God is. And without that, we are actually not pursuing God's heart for his people and for his family. So that began a journey. And you just look at Jesus. You look how Jesus works. In John 1, he goes and he preaches to poor fishermen. In John chapter 3, he preaches and spends time with a very religious, educated Pharisee. Then he goes to Judea. Then he goes to the Samaritans, who are the total different people group, the outcast of the Jews. He reaches out to a Samaritan woman who has lived an immoral life. Then he continues on in John 4, and he reaches out to a Gentile nobleman. I mean, Jesus' ministry is this ministry of reconciliation. The educated, the uneducated, the wealthy, the poor, all peoples, Jew, Gentile, Judeans, he's reaching them all because his heart is for the peoples of the world. And so this blew me away as I was getting into the text and seeing this is what God's heart is. And so I think it's important to pursue it, because if we're not pursuing it, we're not pursuing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
That is so powerful. And
don't you love that?
It couldn't be said any better. I was listening to him thinking, you know, Compton to Klondike.
Camden.
I know, but I was thinking Compton, you know, Compton to Klondike. And,
right.
And it's Camden, you know, where he came from. And he is doing so much. We're looking forward to having each of these panelists on VFN TV. But it's about redeeming a culture, redeeming a people, a nation. He says, make disciples of nations. So you have the ethnos, but you also have the nation itself. And those seven spheres we talk about, the seven mountains of changing. And I think that, you know, Pastor Josh was involved in many of those mountains there. And it's very exciting. Looking forward to that. We have so much more. We come back from the break. We're going to be hearing from Pastor Dan Livingston of Transformational Church, Pastor Aaron James of Jubilee, and so much more. Pastor Greg Burns
of New Dimensions Christian Center.
When did the Christmas?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, 12 days of Christmas, we want to be able to just focus on Christmas. And you think about it, in Ephesians chapter 2. He talks about that the Lord, you know, what he did on the cross was he made the two adversarial relationships one. And this so fits what we're talking about today. And you know, two people that couldn't get along, you know, the Jew and the Gentile, it just couldn't get, you know, just the reconciliation of man to God and man to man. It all happens at the cross, and it happens by the power of God's Spirit. But I think this Christmas clip that you're about to see, it just touches your heart because it goes back like into the 30s, and you're watching them fight this war. And I just want to give a big shout out to Kathy Mack for making this available, a friend of ours and a friend of VFN TV. And but watch what happens. This is going to bless your heart.
Jenkins,
open. Night.
Sleep.
I bring it to come.
Jim?
Jim, no, don't do it.
Halt! Es nicht bewaffnet. Nein, Otto.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön, schön.
Well, you know, Pastor Greg Burns of New Dimension Christian Center, you know, a brother of mine in the Lord, and you know, also a spiritual son of Ken Summerall.
Yes,
Papa Ken. You know, brother Papa Ken, and it just an awesome testimony. And as a matter of fact, we got a chance to hear at this conversation, and while we're sharing his testimony, first of all, it's powerful. Secondly, it lets you understand and get a heart for. You know, Pastor Greg Burns of New Dimension Center, if you're looking for a church in the Gulf Coast region mm-hmm. down there and in Pensacola, I mean, that's obviously all that these churches seem like a great church to go to. But just to understand how it came to pass, mm-hmm. and it's such a beautiful multiracial experience, I mean, intense, and it's beautiful, and it leads them to a place. Matter of fact, take a look right. This is Pastor Greg Burns of New Dimension Christian Center speaking at this panel, Harbor Day, or Pearl Harbor
Pearl
Day.
Harbor Day, yeah.
On December the 7th, just a Sunday.
I was born and raised in Meridian, Mississippi, in abject poverty. I was born out of wedlock. My dad was not married to my mom. He had his own wife and had a daughter that was born the same month I was. We grew up together in school. We were best friends. She didn't know I was her half-brother, and she doesn't know that to this day. And so I grew up in an all-black church, in abject poverty, but I had a heart after God. And my grandmother was a praying mother. My mother died when I was 12 years old of cancer. And so I had every opportunity to fulfill all of the statistics about my situation. But I got saved at the age of 16. And I was a religious guy and taught Sunday school and was the youth director of our district for the Baptist denomination that I was a part of and that I grew up in. And they told me about a Jesus people movement that was taking place. And a bunch of long-haired, barefoot, white hippies were meeting outside of Meridian in Collinsville, Mississippi. And one of my black friends told me, hey, man, let's go and see what's going on out there. It's one Friday night, so I put on my three-piece suit. And I show up in that meeting, and man, was I overly dressed, to say the least. So I'm in this all-white cabin with a long-haired, barefoot, white hippie preaching the gospel. But God used that man to penetrate my heart. And at the end of that meeting, he said, is there anybody who wants to get saved? You need to understand, I had the image down. I was Mr. Religious, and I helped other people, and they looked up to me as a leader. But I was religious, without a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he gave that altar call and said, do you want to receive Jesus? I accepted Jesus that night as my personal Lord and Savior. Then he took me in the back room and I heard a bunch of noise and I said, what's that? And he told me people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, can I have that too? And he laid his hands on me, prayed for me, and my quiet, shy demeanor and disposition turned into a wild black man, by which, by the way, had an afro then and still got an afro today. But here's what happened. My life was radically changed, and I went from a religious life to a life with a vibrant, fervent personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I went back to my all-black denominational church, 31st Avenue Missionary Baptist Church in Meridian, Mississippi, and tried to change everything. And pretty soon my family was there, and when I realized that I was creating more of a disruption instead of being a help, at the age of 16, I felt the Lord leading me to go somewhere that I felt was compliant with where my heart was. And the only place I found in Meridian, Mississippi was an all-white church called Liberty Church in Meridian, Mississippi. So I showed up one Sunday morning, and it was all-white until I showed up. And I stayed there and found out about Liberty Bible College here in Pensacola. And when I graduated from high school at the age of 17, I left. And you need to understand something. With me leaving that all-black environment, I received a lot of criticism for it. I caught a lot of heat from family members and friends. But you know the thing we're talking about, what brings us together? I had one desire, Pastor Aaron and Pastor Lynn and Pastor Dan and Pastor Josh. I had one desire. I wanted Jesus. And I was so focused on Jesus, I didn't care if I was the only black there. I just wanted Jesus. Wherever Jesus was, that's what I wanted. And I came to Liberty Bible College and stayed there for 5 years. Stayed in the dormitories. And for a while, I was the only black in the dormitory. Became the president of my class. I think they just did it because they said, wow, what are we going to do with this black guy with an afro? The only black. But I never looked at skin. And became the worship leader at an all-white church here, predominantly church, Liberty Church Northeast, which was the satellite church from Liberty West Side. Became the worship leader there for 6 years, and then the assistant pastor of outreach for the next 4 years. And it was out of a desire to see the races come together that on April 19th of 1992, God led me to found New Dimensions Christian Center with a heart to birth a multicultural church. And on that first Sunday, 150 people showed up. 90% that I did not know, it, they were half black and half white. And so I just thought, okay, they were just checking out what this Afro preacher was going to do for that Sunday. But they showed up the next Sunday and the next Sunday. And a year later, we doubled to 300 members, half black, half white. And it remained that way up until the a point of 500 members. And beyond that, though the membership, white membership that time stayed where it was, the next growth came from a black influx of people. And there's a lot that I could say about as to why there was a shift, because now my son Tyler insisted that I be a part of this panel on multi-ethnic, multi-racial churches. But I've moved so much and have gone through so many shifts and distractions. I think I've been in every building in Pensacola with New Dimensions Christian Center. Pastor Lynn, I think I might have been here and didn't know I was here. And so there's been a shift in my focus to where I'm just so glad we still got some people here. I don't care if they're black, white, polka dot, green, or whatever. I'm just glad when I show up, folks still show up with us. Somebody say hallelujah. But here's my heart. My heart is always for all people. Though we would not be classified according to what the sociologists and the analysts say, a multi-ethnic church, it is our heart. We welcome all people. We love all people. Some of my very best friends are Caucasian brothers and sisters, and I love them dearly to this day. I'm just grateful that one plants, another waters. God gives the increase. There are some things that I did intentionally over the years to make it multiracial. But right now, I'm just resting in the fact that God's still using this Afro preacher, and I'm glad to be a part of it, and I'm glad to be a part of this panel.
Amen.
That's so great. Wow. He says, you know, I have my heart is for, you know, all people.
Yes.
And you get to that point, you know, when people expect so many things from him, he's like, God's God. I'm just preaching whoever.
I'm faithful.
And, you know, and it's, you know, the intentionality of things versus like, go, what you do is you just tell everybody, you know, go to everywhere, and whoever responds, then that's who you're going to be ministering to. And just keep your heart, you know, right. And we got so much more coming back. Pastor Dan Livingston speaking, you know, from his heart about sensitivity versus respect, which is a powerful thing. Mm. And also, Pastor Aaron James will be speaking as well. Just powerful. We got so much more to we're obviously going to be catch us also in our next program because we are not going to stop until we, you know, we get all this out because this is so important. The hand of God. The hand of God, as we talked about in earlier programs, when God was speaking and, you know, and prophecy is just, you know, God's, we're hearing what he's saying. That's what somebody, and so you just say what he's saying the best that you can, and you begin to act in those things that he's saying, and then you see him confirm things. And like I said in the earlier programs that you can catch, go to VFTV.com, is that the hand of God appeared over this in the heavenlies, reported by Fox News, didn't it?
Sure did.
I mean, God's hand is in this. Why? Because he wants us to go tell all nations that he loves them and has a plan for their life. Listen, Pastor Aaron James brought a great point, you know, up as, in this conversation about, you know, what's so beautiful about us all is that everybody's different. We're like snowflakes. You know, every snowflake's different. And it would be, I like what T.D. Jakes says, you know, if we're the same, one of us is irrelevant.
Right.
And you don't want everybody to be the same. That's what's so beautiful about it. You know, you want that's just life gets so boring. Everybody's the same. And so, as a matter of fact, listen now to Pastor Aaron James.
And that actually sets up an important point to make, because I feel like when we talk about unity within the church, we kind of make unity into a myth, to where when the Lord saves someone, like when the Lord saved me, I didn't stop being black. And none of my cultural distinctions as a black American disappeared. And so sometimes when we talk about unity in the body, we have to be very careful, because I feel like whoever has the majority of thought is the one determining what the norm is. That makes sense? And so I feel like that when, as we talk about unity, the central truth upon which unifies us is the person and work of Christ. But our personal distinctions don't disappear. That's the beautiful part about it. Our personal distinctions don't disappear. You know, I mean, we still like the food we like. We like the music we like. We either dance or don't, or can't. It don't matter. But we're still those differences. And one of the things that I'd personally love to see is, I would love to see us celebrate those distinctions and not try to wage war on those distinctions, because my blackness only makes sense within the context of the gospel. Your whiteness only makes sense within the context of the gospel. It's a part of the redemptive plan of God. It's that Revelation 5 and 4 that we were singing about here earlier.
And I'd like to include, you know, the brown, yellow, and red as well. That's just a beautiful, beautiful, we appreciate, you know, Pastor James. That's so important. You know, it's unifying our diversity of who we are and how God made us, all creating the image and the likeness of God. Now, this is very important. This was brought up by Pastor Dan Livingston of Transformational Church. And, of course, you know, Pastor Earl James is a Jubilee International Christian Center.
Aaron James.
I'm Aaron. Aaron James. And, he's talking about, you know, people are just trying to be so PC. I mean, he's not using the word PC, but so overly sensitive. Mm-hmm. But the key to it, we were talking about this this week, and we talked about it at the Dream Center, it's honor. You know, if you honor everybody, you don't have to be sensitive. You know, if you're honoring someone, you know, they know that you're honoring them and you're doing your best. As a matter of fact, listen to Pastor Dan Livingston. Watch.
Well, I wanted to jump on that word because the question is, should we be sensitive to the racial and cultural differences in our church? And to me, that word sensitive puts me on the defense, that I'm immediately defensive because I have to be sensitive on everything I say so that I don't offend my brother. And then he's got to be sensitive so he don't offend me. And I want to put a different word in there called respectful. Mm. That should I be respectful to the different cultures and races within my church and my community? And when I'm respectful, I'm not on the defense, I'm on the offense, and I'm not trying to change you or make you see my view or my way. I respect yours, and you're respecting me. Now we can have a true open dialogue, and we can learn from each other and grow and become better people, better churches, and Amen. Then a better kingdom.
Amen.
And to me, everybody's so sensitive because everybody's offended at everything, and so we're all on eggshells. I mean, Tyler and I tried to have a dialogue on Facebook the other day, and he put up a post, and he and I were having some really in-depth personal conversation, and a couple pastors in town jumped on me and was like, but they didn't understand our relationship. And so I told Tyler, I'm sorry, I have to delete all my stuff because these guys want to go crazy and make it a racial thing when we're talking out of respect, and they're wanting to be oversensitive.
Just in case you don't know this, having a conversation on Facebook is not a personal thing. It's definitely a social thing. And I just really love Pastor Dan's heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? And this unique pastor, you got to just, when you meet all the different pastors in the body of Christ, it's just so encouraging. But this pastor, and I was talking to some of his people, that he literally brings home the bacon.
Oh, yes,
he does.
He's
a hunter.
Yes,
he is. He actually taught. He preached a message in camouflage clothes.
Who did?
Pastor Dan.
Pastor Dan.
Watch this program. It's great.
Yes.
And he had his bow, and I think he had his gun. I don't know.
Last time I was there, you know, visiting with him, he told me he was going to take me hunting. I've been getting all these offers.
We definitely got to kick
and,
the
and I reminded the you. I reminded John you, Pastor Dan. I reminded yeah. you there.
I
the
point the gun downfield. Yeah. And so, but yeah, he brings, you know, he goes out and does the kill of the wild bull or the deer, and he brings back and distributes the meat to all the family and the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, my goodness.
Wow.
That's cool. I was going to ask the question, does he give you the backstrap? That's the best part of the deer.
Oh, that's good.
That's how you know if you really love somebody to the backstrap. Mm. Oh, I got the sausage. That's all I've ever got was the sausage. And so we are going to continue this conversation in our next program. It's got so much more that happened there in this conversation. It's just so meaty, and it's so important. So make sure you join us in our next program. Why are we doing this? Because he told us, our Father told us through our Lord and his Son to go to all the nations and tell them about him, all the ethnos, all the races. And so we need to go. It doesn't mean everybody's going to say yes to Jesus, but if we never even ask them the question, he said, how will they know unless someone tells them? And how will someone tell them unless they're sent? And how will somebody be sent unless they realize we're supposed to go?
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you, join us in the next program, begin to pray, you know, that God would heal us in the church in America, and in this nation, and that we would come into a new kingdom-minded mindset about all the nations. He said, I'll give you all the nations as an inheritance. He loves the people of the earth. And as you'll find out in our next program, as Pastor Lynn Ballinger is talking here, he says, you know, question is, do we love who God loves? Do we love what God loves? You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.